Okay, we're back.
Yeah.
And what were we talking about?
We're on Vimy. Holding a bloody line at Vimy.
Okay.
Holding on.
You were talking about a trench raid that you guys had
gone. Oh, yeah, that's right. I got this raid. Yeah. 5 days before the Battle of Vimy. There were 60, 20 men went over.
Who commanded it?
There was like three different parties.
I see.
We were separate. And I went to B Company, he was right here, and A Company were there, and C Company, and three of us. I went over, I was basic man for two, had a funniest buggers we ever had. And we got six men one time.
Mm-hmm.
They were all foreigners, all Yugoslavs.
Fighting for Canada.
Yeah, they were all come from Canada, yeah. And there we would be fighting them. And there was a Turk in the outfit. This was in Cameron Honeyman. There was a Turk in there. And in that time, Armenians was
the deadly enemy
getting massacred by the Turks.
Yeah.
And there was this Armenian. Japanese fucking thing. Oh, bloody day from now on. And the Turk sitting over there with bloody eyes. That's what they were like.
They were the enemy, not the Germans.
Yeah, no, no. He was there. Oh, yeah. Chopping the fucking vein. And the guy said, oh, you goddamn it. Cut it out, you buggers. You know. Old jockey used to be crazy, old bastard. But any time they went in, anyway, they got in the trench there one time when Jerry come over on us on a raid.
Mm-hmm.
This Dutchman, I'll tell you about it. And he took two of them prisoner, and he wounded two. These Yugoslavs or the Armenians, whatever they were.
Mm-hmm.
And he got Frank. Frank was the number two on the Lewis gun. Yeah, that's right. We just got the one bloody gun of the company, Lewis gun. Frank was the number two on it. And all of a sudden he gets a kick in the bloody ribs and he opened up in the fucking officer stand, a Jerry officer stand with his gun on him. So Frank, he come out all flying, knocked him ass over bollocks and he was so goddamn mad, after he got him down, he didn't bother with him.
Mm-hmm.
Looking for his bloody gun, he found the gun. The gun had been all dismantled, you see. He had a pistol grip on that Lewis gun, you know. He pulled that pistol grip out and it all falls apart.
Mm-hmm.
He couldn't find Bob Rogers, who was the number one, Bob Rogers. So, and anyway, but this time they were all getting out, you know. And old Frank got the MM, and he punching his buddy else. He was a good guy, this Frank. He was a Hollander, you know, real Hollander.
Mm-hmm.
He told me, he said, "You guys, you keep your face shut." And he says, "I got an idea, you know." I said, what do you think about it? He said, "You think you know." Yes, I said, you jumped out of some bloody outfit before you ever got him here. I know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he said, I used to be a corporal in the army. And he said, "Don't you worry about it, because as soon as they know this, I'll be sent out of this outfit, and I'll be sent back to Holland, court-martial."
Mm-hmm.
Because I jumped that bloody outfit. Mm-hmm. And went to Canada.
Mm-hmm.
That was Frank. He had a good soldier, Frank. Jesus. And anyway, that's that. And when we went into, when we was on this raid in Vimy, it was 60-year-old Dick, no, old Werner. Captain Werner was in charge of that. Of our punch,
mm-hmm.
which was B Company's punch, went on that for you. And I went over in the Eddies too. I was bailiff man for two of the Eddies at Montenegro's.
You were at Montenegro's in the as well?
Well, yeah. Well, that was in. They wouldn't wear a kilt, you know.
Uh-huh.
And the guard said, well, that's all fine. Put them in there. They can't damage me. Father just the same. So.
Uh-huh.
So we put them in there. Wouldn't give them any new pants, and they had to wear them. But anyway, there's Big Mike and Little Mike.
Mm-hmm.
Their names was Mike, you know, Mike. But there's Big Mike and Little Mike was these two guys. And they were pretty good guys, yes. I was a bailiff man for them.
So what is a bayonet man supposed to do?
You're supposed to you write from bayonet. You keep them out every clear so these guys get to throw bombs.
Mm-hmm.
The other two guys throw bombs. As you keep them
covered.
And you got to use a play basement. Anyway, that's it. And, we got in there. Well, anyway, we come out of that. We didn't lose any men. B Company, no. I didn't lose any men, but A Company lost the officer.
Mm-hmm.
And a fella, what the hell was his name? I forget by your name. Anyway. When we went when we took Remy, we went around the left, we saw him laying there in his underwear, his
mm-hmm.
bloody uniform.
Stripped off?
And the whole air was stripped off.
Was the Germans, if I want to
tell you? By the Germans,
yeah.
Yeah. They stripped him off, and they left him laying on the bloody parapet, bollocks naked. And we went over there. The RCIs went over on that front.
Mm-hmm.
I 5 days after. So that was it. Well,
what other preparations were made for Vimy Ridge? I can remember reading that General Bing, who was in command with me at this time, General Bing had set up behind the lines a mock-up, a large-scale mock-up of the ridge,
yeah.
And that the troops practice on this.
Well, that's what they said. That's what they told you for all everybody that wasn't in there.
Yeah, that's what I've read and what I've been told.
That's right. I was there in the bloody line the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
Till the night before, Vinny.
You yeah. had no preparation? No one told you this is what we're going to do
no.
and how we're going to do it?
No. We never got told a fucking thing.
No?
And I if I had been telling anybody, I would have been the first one to hear.
Mm-hmm.
They'd been the Boy Scout. Anyway, we went out to Bray. I was there that night. In the morning, next morning, nice morning, sunny morning.
Mm-hmm.
When they went over, there was a little bit of a goddamn cloud over on the left end of the ridge, where the 4th Division was.
Mm-hmm.
The 4th Division had pulled off that big raid, and then got shit. They got pulled.
Exactly.
Anyway, they come over with us on the 2nd. Now, they only had to go, just a few yards there. And they were right up against the strong point there.
The pimple?
That's right, the pimple. Now, you've read this bloody thing pretty good, eh?
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah. The 40, the 72nd was there. That's, it fought even as a thing. I don't know a hell of a lot about them, but...
They were pretty green, hadn't they? They hadn't had much...
No, this... we never bothered with them much, I don't know, they...
Did you not like them, or...?
No, it wasn't that. No, I never... It's all right, far as I was concerned.
Mm-hmm. You didn't have much to do with them?
No, well, it was a division, you know, it was a...
As opposed to...
Quite a way about it, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, we used to be in the line, the PPs and RCIs was on the 7th Brigade.
Mm-hmm.
That was in my division, see?
Mm-hmm.
And when we were in the line, and, you know, you're making a transportory come up and see whether you get held up for some guy, you know, whoop, and curve pass with you.
Mm-hmm.
It used to be a bloody joke. You know, but about these Icy eyes in the PP, see how I is, you know. Icy eyes. Well, we don't want your goddamn. Who the hell are you? We don't want no fucking alphabet. Who the hell are you? And I used to be. And that's Princess Princess Patrice's Cockney's Idol. That's what we talk about. She wouldn't give us some cigarettes if she didn't want
to. She wouldn't.
Yeah, there you saw the dealer. And they always used to go dirty bloody Camerons. Mm. We were supposed to be the dirty Camerons. I don't know why. We were clean. We got blamed for a lot of stuff. Because every time they had a fight, they had to have the killies in. If you look up that those divisions and brigades, you'll find the killie battalion in these bloody brigades, you know? So they used to get stuck for these dirty jobs.
Was it just you and your brigade, or did the Black Watch also get
no,
stuck?
No, all brigades. No, all. Yeah. That was the brigade was in the 3rd Division. That was the 7th Brigade. There's the RCS, PPCLIs, 42nd, and the 49th. That was in 1 Brigade. Anyway, when we come back off of that, we was that raid. We was in the trenches there. And we went out of the line to Bray, and that morning, the next morning, they went over the top with Vimy.
And you were at Bray at this time in reserve?
That's right. And then about noon, we pulled out of Bray, went up over the hill where that monument is to the present day. 54th. Anyway, that's where the RCS and the PPs were. We went over there down to, went down the hill to,
So how did you find the ground? Was it littered with PPCLI and RCRs?
Oh, yeah. No. There were a few, but there were no Heinies in those.
And were the Heinies killed by artillery fire or by small arms?
There was a lot by artillery fire. I'll tell you one guy who sticks in my mind. We went to La Foley's farm. La Foley farm. He used to have a farm right on the ridge there. It's near where this monument is up in there. It was all level, and the bricks of the foundation was like a little hill of broken brick. And laying right alongside of these was a young honey. I remember it stuck in my mind. A young fellow. I looked at him. He'd got killed by a machine gun or something like that. And he packed two sacks. One sack was full of little rye bread, little loaves about this big. Rye bread. And the other sack was full of little sausages about, they were a bit tied up. And so he was packing these rations up somewhere.
Back up to his men, I should think.
Well, yeah. And when he got killed. I remember that as plain as me. And that's where we went. Whenever we went down to the Foley Cups, you find that.
That's what was a bit of a forest at one time.
That's right, right at the foot of the hill.
Did you encounter any fighting, or had the fighting pretty much gone past the hill?
No. Jerry pulled out on time.
Okay, so he was down the other side of the hill in the
trees. Yes, he was the other side. And we went down the foot of that hill, and there was only the scouts out that night. I know, we was out there. It was just the night time. The early part of the night, and we got a scout in that wood there. And we nailed him. Anyway, when I come in, this captain, He said he had an officer, a new officer. Would I take him on? Take him in. Mm-hmm. There's a fellow named Anderson. We call him Rum Jai Anderson.
Mm-hmm.
Fat belly, Rum Jai. He was pretty good, Joe. So I took him out, but there was a few shots, rifle shots, you know. Not many, just a few. And Tracy was being one of the goddamn over in the wall, you know, this wouldn't be. Oh, so I got him left and I took him on and he was behind the hell. Trenches all the time. He was probably down there.
Mm-hmm.
And then after a while, I just went through this gap in the front line. Get said no man's land, and he come in with no man's land. And I took him down to headquarters. Oh, Jesus. He wanted to give me everything. Oh, yeah. He recommended me for everything. They see and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And this captain, he said, all right, Mr. Anderson, so you report to your platoon. He said, I'll take care of Clayton. So when he went, he said, where the hell did you take So I said, Christ, I took my back of support. What for? Well, I said, he's wanting to win the bloody war in one night. I said, God damn, I'm not going to stick my neck out either. Oh, he said, don't you do that again to any of my officers. Anyway, next day.
Tell me, the base of the hill, did you guys set up a very strong defensive line?
No, it was all
machine guns?
No, Christ, no, we only had one machine gun.
Well, perhaps, did they not bring up a machine gun in to support you at all?
No. Oh, I don't know. I never. Up on top of the ridge, they had some.
Yeah.
But below there, we didn't have any.
Well, again, from what I've read, they.
They were all like artillery,
yeah,
machine guns. We never. The frontline men never met any of these guys at all. They used to nail us for souvenirs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Obviously. When we come out of the line, meet these fellas in the pubs and that, and they'd always get after us there, almost as souvenirs.
Krugers or Iron Cross,
yeah,
and that sort of thing.
Sure. Yeah. You get 10 or 15 francs for a helmet, you know.
That could be fairly lucrative. You could make a lot of money out of that.
Well, yes, but in the hell's sticking around picking up souvenirs. Well, that's all right, but no, okay, so I wouldn't stick around picking up souvenirs. If everything's quiet, I would.
Mm-hmm.
Like, God damn it, you're busy. You know?
You were going to say about the next day, what happened then?
Oh, the next day? Well, we was in the front line. Put us in the front line, you see, that night.
Okay.
We was in the front line the night of the night.
Well, had that been the plan after these assault troops had gone through that you guys would come up and
Actually, okay. We come up, it's like a call of second wave. We went right out through them. And we lay down there all that night. The next day, we went home. We crossed over into Paddy Vimy,
mm-hmm,
and Vimy.
Mm-hmm.
And we went over there. We went across. The piece of land we had was between that railway track. Well, it was half of us on each side of the railway track.
Mm-hmm.
It goes in the Albion. That, it's a brewery. Plays on this road that goes here to Lens. There was a brewery there. Lacolette, was taken by the 44th.
Mm-hmm.
We went over there, and this 44th, they went through this goddamn brewery. And when they get to the other side, how'd he come out of the brewery? Kind of well. They went through the brewery without knowing anybody was in there. It was full of homies. They went through it. And when they come out, Christ, there was that old slot there. Yeah. Anyway, we went up that railway track, me and Nellie Gray. Me and Nellie Gray.
Another scout?
Yeah, Gray's name was. We called him Nellie Gray. You know, there was a song about him. Goodbye, Nelly, I must leave you, you know.
No, don't. Sounds interesting, though. Well, what were your orders? What were you told to do? You and he were scouts.
Well, we was in touch. We'd get, you see, the Heidi pulled way back. Mm-hmm. That when that fight was on, he was going.
We didn't know where he was.
Yeah, we tore it up. And the next morning, you see, we had to close up on him, get the closer. So we went, Nally and I went into the railway avion that time, and Nally got shot. Mm-hmm. He got a bullet in the end. He went over the edge. He didn't kill him right away. But I packed him out. I come down the wrong side of the railway track and went out 2 hours. It was about right over the Lacolette. Mm-hmm. Was digging in trenches across that way. And they said they'd gone far enough. When I come, they said, you know, he's pretty sick, Fred. Yeah, I said, get down. So they sent him out of the line. He died that night.
Had it pierced his heart, or just...
Well, yeah, he cut some right over in this side. Yeah, it went through the corner of his pocket here, over this way.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, we stayed there. That was the 14th. We stayed there till the 14th of April, right in there. And one night...
Was there no thought given to moving up and trying to exploit this?
Yeah, one night I took a fighting patrol out.
Of how many men?
That's a platoon of 40 men.
Okay. You took one out? So
yeah,
you were...
I was a scout for it. And I had one of my scouts, a fellow named Somerville.
Mm-hmm.
He was a real this canvas or something. I took him, and he was down there on the left, and I was on the right of the officer. We went not going away. I don't know. I got a bloody hunch. I don't know what the hell it was. I told her, I said, I'll just stop the fight, but I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
She went home. I said, stop it, just stop. So he passed it then. And they all stopped. And Jesus, just then a flare went up. Right out of the body. Went up. And I could see the whole fucking raw hangings in this, taking the bloody trench out. Oh, you see a raw bloody tin hat. Oh, wait a minute. I don't think any of us took a breath. So we were laying there. Oh, Christ. Till the fucking light went out. And we started to go back.
Mm-hmm.
The officer said, that's it, boys. You know, I know he didn't want to. No, and I didn't know. But when we were turning around back, there was a rifle went off. I know it was Sammy.
With one of ours, one of yours.
Yeah, down in the left, Sammy, and ping, right on his bloody hat. He's off in there. This is the first time I've told this. It was the left-handed Green.
Mm-hmm.
He was the fellow that got the first MC in that battalion. It was donated to him at Yeeps.
It was donated to him?
Because of he was the colonel's nephew.
And the men didn't like him very much.
Oh, no. He didn't like him. And Somni had it in for him for some bloody reason.
Is it Private Somni?
Eh?
Private Somni?
Private Somerville?
Somerville. That you call him Somni?
Yeah, oh, Somni. I didn't join him.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was crazy. Yeah, he was a private like me. Yeah. He real good guy, good soldier.
Mm-hmm.
Real happy-go-lucky man. I used to pick him all kinds of stuff, take him with me, yeah. And
but he took a pot shot at Green?
Oh, yeah.
And he winged him in the helmet?
No, it just cut the helmet and skipped, you know, the bullet on it. Right above the brim here.
Well, had Green done something to Somerville before this?
Oh, I don't know. But there's lots of guys. You know, you could kill a guy in there.
And no one would know.
No, you.
There's no such thing as an autopsy in Dead Man's Land. So how would they ever find out what kind of bullet shot?
Now, in our army,
mm-hmm.
The officer, there was no regulation about an officer leading the fucking men.
Mm-hmm.
And I never saw a bloody officer lead men.
Mm-hmm. Was Green leading the men?
No.
Yeah. You were?
He just got up from where we was in the grass hiding there where they from these hiding to go back. Mm-hmm. When he got it. What the hell was I going to say?
Something about Green or Somerville?
No, I never saw one of ours that leading the fucking name. Mm-hmm. The French. French is different.
How about the British?
I don't know about the British. I never fought with them. Mm-hmm. But I went with the 49th Regiment.
Mm-hmm. French 49th Regiment?
No, but the 94th Regiment.
Mm-hmm. Where did you fight with them?
I was with them when they got wounded.
The French?
Yeah.
What do you mean, when they got wounded?
When I got wounded.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That took place in 18. That's a long way from home.
Yeah, we'll get on with that
after. What was I going to say? Oh, yeah, the officers used to, the French officers, the colonel of that regiment, I saw him with a chow chow gun. You know a chow chow gun? It's a chow chow.
It's like a Lewis gun, isn't it? Sort of a.
And it's a light machine gun.
Yeah.
And it's not like a Lewis, but it's more like a Colt gun.
Mm-hmm. It had a real small clip,
yeah.
Didn't it?
Yeah.
Heaviest.
That's right, kind of a clip, you know.
Yeah.
I tell you what, you know, that old bastard, you know, he must have been 70. Mm. If he was a fucking day, he was 70. Tell him. His name's on that fucking thing there.
On that plaque?
Yeah. I see him when he had a bit whiskered down here.
Mm-hmm.
And he tucked it in his goddamn coat. Yeah, he tucked it in his coat and he had a chow chow gun. Chow chow gun. He was a gutsy old bastard, yeah. But anyway, that took place a long time after.
Yeah.
But
we were talking about Lieutenant Green. What did he know that it was one of his men that shot at him?
I don't know. He never made any cracks to me.
Well, what did you say when you got back?
Oh, I bought good.
Summer
out of what? Jesus Christ, you know. Play. You didn't hit the bastard anyway, you didn't.
Did you tell him if he's going to shoot at an officer, make sure you hit him?
Yeah, that's right. God damn it, no. No, we never mentioned that afterwards. And anyway.
Did you run across that ever happening before or again?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I knew another fella that got it that way. But anyway, let's go on to that where we was.
I think
we're at Bimby, yeah. We were at Avon. We went over to Bimby, got to Avon. We was there the 14th of April.
Mm-hmm.
On this place where I'm telling them. Yeah. We went out the line. And I think we were out for a rest that time. We come back in. Oh, yeah. Come back in. We was on the other side of the railway track, on where this prairie was. No man's land, half a mile of no man's land.
Mm-hmm.
Try to see that. Real happy-go-lucky place to go scouting.
Yeah.
The fellow wrote this book.
Bird?
Yeah. Bird. He mentioned that too. God damn it, I think I took everybody for 72nd man in there too that time. Yeah.
And Bird was a member of the 72nd?
Yeah, I took him in that by the tent that time. Yeah. Because we went through Petty Vimy, through the brickyards there. Yeah. And anyway, least by we got there. Yeah, we spent we was in there two trips. We got raided one night.
Mm-hmm.
Only it was a daylight raid. Yeah, daylight raid. We got a raid by Jerry. He never got in our line, our trench at all. You see, this railway track run down there, and there was a trench all up it, coming up it. And then, you see, when he got chased out of there, come back in, he made a trench this way. So he made a new front line with the same communication trench in there.
Mm-hmm.
And Oh, yeah. He had a post up in the bloody trench where he joined his front line then. And there was a post there and a big pile of empty shell cases. And something there was out there. Good night. Phone right in there. And that star shell was up and these shell cases was gloomy. I said to some little cat over there. Pretty great tomcat on this heap of shell. And my little wife with the night sights on him. He wants the best to jump. Okay. You hear a bullet go hit the tin hat? Go through it. Here we hit. Christ, it was a bloody hiney. I got him right through the head.
You thought it was a cat?
Yeah, I thought it was a cat, moving like,
So it went straight through his helmet, through his head,
So we bugged it up and was laughing when we got in the front line. We saw it in the bus, just where the officer was there. Well, Dick Rich, see, what the hell's a bloody joke here, And of course we didn't want to tell him. But then I told him, the post out there on the top of them bloody shell cases along the railway track. How do you know? Well, I said, I'm pretty sure it was a man. It wasn't a bloody cat, I got. Well, let's go find out. So I said, no, you go. You ain't go. So we went. Sure enough, it was the Jay was still there. His pals would beat him. But he was still there. That's why I knew this. The next trip of nine, we was in the same damn place.
What are we talking about now? Is it late April? Or is it May?
We're talking about May. Mm-hmm. Yeah, month of May.
How was the weather at this point? Was it much warmer than it was?
Pretty good.
Have there been any rains?
Oh, quite a few rains, the short showers, like.
But nothing that would make turn the ground into mud.
Oh, no. It was pretty good that time. About the end of May, it's pretty good time.
Actually the time of, I guess the Nivelle offensive had failed at this time, and the French army was in mutiny, wasn't it?
Well, oh, the French army was. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Good. Yeah, sure. They was all...
Did you guys know about that?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Did you know at the time that the French army was in pretty sad shape?
No.
You found it later.
But I forget how it reminded me. But anyway, they shot every tenth man. And it didn't matter a goddamn if he was a good soldier or not. If he was a tenth man. The Frenchmen, they're called bloody bunch of bastards,
Did they shoot officers as well?
Oh, no. No, they were shot an officer. Because an officer's an officer of my gentleman.
That's right. He would not mutiny, would he?
He would. The sons of bitches. Cold-footed as a bloody private. That's the way they were.
Okay, so you were back in the line in May sometime.
No, yeah, at Maricourt.
And whereabouts is that?
Well, that was to the right of where we went. That's right of that railway track going into Lens. It's on the right there. It's Lens. Maricourt's over there.
Were you not involved in the Hill 70?
Oh, wait a minute. I'm coming to that. That's another bloody thing. It won't be long now.
Okay.
So we went in there and Maricourt, yeah. We went in there, was all right. And then we come out and we went into this left side of the railway track to Avion. And we went over the top there. and we took the line of shallow just outside of the bloody town. Mm-hmm. Abbeen was a small, it was all miners. That's a real mining country there.
Was it coal or?
Coal. Yeah. It was all coal. Raw miners' shacks there. We were also, we stopped on the outskirts of that. I met an old divisional commander.
McDonough?
No. Third division.
Lipset?
Oh, and he used to be a careless pug, you know. He shouldn't have ever been up a fucking line. He's a nice man I spoke to when I was in. And I'd see a division commander up that fucking course, you know where you are. But anyway, at this time, I was in this bloody shell. I was 12-inch naval guns had opened up there, and he used to leave bloody big holes. Mm-hmm. And I was in there with one fellow this night, and they were shooting. I lay on top and shooting. And I was just talking. I was talking to this fellow who was with me. Mm-hmm. I didn't know who the hell he was talking. And he never answered me. So I this fellow say, anyway, he won't answer you. Tell him something. He don't answer you, chum, because he's dead. Mm-hmm. Well, brother, it was Lipset. In a bloody shell hole like that. Mm-hmm. In no man's land.
In no man's land?
No man's land.
How did he get there?
Well, that's what I want to know.
Yeah?
He was division commander. Yeah.
So, did he say, did you ask him?
Eh?
Did you say what the heck you're doing out here, sir?
Oh, no, I didn't say anything to him, I don't think. You know. No. He just bugged us.
But did you find out later why he was there?
Oh, no. No, that was his idea. He used to.
He did it all the time?
Yeah, he was an Englishman, you know, mm-hmm. unknown to the Canadian forces. Mm-hmm. He joined us when we left the Ypres to go to the South. See?
Had he been, had some experience in fighting before that in France? Or did they just want to have a British commander in charge?
No, they you see, in them days, we was in the Imperial Army,
mm-hmm.
you know.
So the Canadian Corps had not been formed as such.
We weren't the Canadian, so we was just known as a Canadian outfit, that's all. Mm-hmm. And the Australians was the same goddamn way.
Mm-hmm.
But after Remy, of course we was Canadian Army then. Mm-hmm. But them days, as we were all volunteers, no, it was just a pure bloody accident. Anyway, we got out of there. And well, then was when this Hill 70 scrap came along.
Mm-hmm. And how were you involved in that?
We wasn't involved in the Hill 70 part of it. We were involved in the right hand. This Hill 70 here, the line was one here, and it was Lens, town of Lens. Mm-hmm. We were losing Lens.
Was there as thorough an artillery preparation for this as there was for Vimy Ridge?
Oh, no. There was a 1st and 2nd Division got most of the Hill 70.
Mm-hmm. And you're 3rd, aren't you?
Yeah, you see, we was...
You were the extreme the fourth right-hand side.
Well, the 4th was on the left, right. Yeah. I think the 4th, which they joined up to us about where they ended in the Vimy thing. Okay. Yeah. We went over Vimy.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, that's where we were there. We lost a few men there, about 50 some. And then the 1st and 2nd Divisions, they got pretty well cut up there.
Was it much of a hill Saturday?
No. These hills, they're no bloody hills. They were just domes, you know. They would be hills or something.
Was it large? I mean, in terms of area that it covered?
No, it couldn't be.
Mm-hmm. But did it have the commanding height that
Vimy did? Yeah, well, no. Vimy was quite a ways up from there.
Then why was it so important?
Well, it was a little higher than the other one. And they thought they had the brakes, I guess. Anyway, we was in that, and we come out the line again, mm-hmm. and we sent on the Vimy front again.
When is this? This is still May?
Or is it September. It's about September we've been there. August, September. Mm-hmm. About September.
Okay, and by this time, your favorite friend, Doug Haig, had started another offensive, Passchendaele.
Oh, no, that was...
Well, your part was, but they had started, I think.
Oh, yes. Oh, he started in July.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They started in July.
They always started early and let you guys clean it up at the end.
Well, we always that way. The only time we ever had a clear open space was at Amiens.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Christ, yeah. And you know, the fellas there on the open prairie, you know,
yeah.
where they was traveling. Oh, Christ, yeah.
How long did the Bill 70 scrap go on for?
Well, about 2 months.
Was that long? Was that long protracted? It wasn't one swoop like Vimy.
No. What stopped us at Vimy? We had to stop when we took Vimy.
Because no one had expected
to get it. Because they couldn't get a bloody gun over there.
Was that the reason why?
There was no bloody way of getting a field gun over there for mud and shit.
Mm-hmm. Were there no captured German guns that you could turn around and fire?
Oh yes, there was those, but I don't know. No field guns.
All pretty much small.
Yeah. No, they were all heavy guns at the foot of the hill. Mm-hmm. Big howitzers.
But could they not have sent the cavalry in to charge up ahead?
No, they couldn't. They could get all the bloody mud and shit. The cavalry was a washout.
Yeah.
Every once in a while they'd get in a little mix up, you know.
And they'd make a big thing out of it too, I think.
There's
no way they could have exploited Vimy Ridge, could they?
Oh, yes. They had... place where we could get bloody guns over the ridge, well, because we saw Heine traveling to beat hell down the foot of that ridge.
Mm-hmm.
That afternoon, late afternoon, he was still pulling up.
Because they didn't have any defensive positions behind the ridge, did they? If you would have gotten behind
them and kept pushing,
they would have kept going.
That's right. He had no trenches behind the ridge.
Mm-hmm.
They was all laid out for him right on that bloody ridge. Because he had, in 15, he'd shut up the bloody French army so bad that nobody can take this place. You see.
The same with the British next year.
He got surprised that day. Anyway,
were you involved in Hill 70 right from beginning to end? Were you there the entire time?
No, I wasn't from beginning to the end. The 1st and 2nd Division had been there about 2 weeks, I guess, when we went over.
With the
3rd
and 4th Division?
Yeah.
And you took over, and in the next month and a half, you succeeded in getting up?
Well, we never took it. There wasn't any place to go.
Mm-hmm.
They took Hill 70, but it was just stuck on the bloody hill, that's all. No, we never went anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
It was Hill 70, so.
That's it, we're just there.
Yeah, anyway, we done that. We went back to the Vimy then, and we was on these parts there. We had it easy then. And that's when they supposed to have sent out men to find out where the hell you go, but I never seen anybody.
Mm-hmm.
They come along and ask me if I want to go for a ride in the plane one time. That when I was there, I said, what are you going to do? Well, the boys have been shooting up bloody ammunition, and you can't hit them, but they give you so they're not bothering them shooting at them, you know. They wouldn't bother shooting up bloody plane.
It's a good hit.
Yeah. So what, but what these Air Force men wanted us to take us up. There was about six of us. Took us up one at a time, in a little bit of a plane. And we went up, and they told us that when these bullets, if they were hitting the bloody plane, it didn't matter whether they killed the guy or not, if they hit in that plane, they'd put the wind up these guys, you see.
Mm-hmm.
They put the wind up so bad they'd pull out. They wanted to show us, you shoot, keep shooting, don't matter if you hit a guy or not.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what it was. And then when we come out there, I went on leave.
Ye gods, you gotta leave?
Right? Yeah.
I said, ye gods, you gotta leave.
Yeah.
Where did you go?
London. I went home to London. To my mother and father.
Okay, when was this? This was after September?
Yeah.
October or September?
Oh, no, this was in October.
Okay.
Yeah, it was in the first part of October.
You told me earlier a story about you getting to London and about money.
Well, that was it. Yeah. I came to it.
Okay.
So, I got this one. Me and Jimmy Hainstock, Corporal Hainstock. He was the old timer. And we went to overseas.
You and your buddies were?
We were friends, you know. He was a good guy. He's one of the few bloody cops.
Good stomach.
Yeah. You know, we get home for a day, I got on a bloody streetcar and embarrassed myself. The dame was pulling my kelp. Come on, honey. I said, oh, I want to have a go to smoke. Come on, honey, smoke with me. I said, I want to have a smoke. She said, she got mad. She said, have you got anything on that kelp besides what the good Lord give you?
Mm-hmm.
I said, no, why? That's where you can't go back. She said, no.
I thought that was the whole reason you went upstairs, was to give the little chippy on the corner a little bit of a look.
No, she's not so easy, you can't go up there. Anyway, I got off the bloody tram and I walked home. Had a long walk through London. But it was, there was M. Zeppelin's at that time.
Yeah.
Blackouts. You know. Walking along there, I met a cop. I said, how are you looking? How far is Silver Street? He said, you going down there? Yeah, I said, where is it? Oh, he says, it's down here a few blocks. Come on, I'm going down there now. So I went down with him. He was telling me all about the bloody airplane and been there a few nights before that. He was telling me all. And when I get down there, I say, he's my next door neighbor. No, my mother's next door neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
So I went in and I stayed around for a couple, 3 or 4 days. Then I went up to London and I met Jimmy again. He'd been up to Scotland. And he come down to London.
Well, how was your reception at home?
Oh. Swings. Kid sister, which is something, it's a mystery to me. Now, no, they know I wasn't, I didn't know I was coming home on leave. But it was dark as a fiddler's bitch, I don't know. But this kid sister, I knocked at the door, you know, and the window upstairs opened. And this kid stuck her head out the window. She said, Mama! It's Fred. How the hell did she know it was me?
Mm-hmm.
It was dark as hell. Fred. So they come down and let me in. And then, that must have been about 2 or 3 in the morning. Yeah. That was the way it was. And, I took the old man out to a few pubs. He was a well-known captain, I think.
Mm-hmm.
He knew all the pubs. One time he delivered beer. Two more. You know, with a lorry and a team of horses?
Mm-hmm.
And the winter is... Them days the pubs were rationed.
Did they ration
here? Oh, Christ, yeah, they rationed them. Yeah, right there. And, you could drink there. They'd drink as long as you had a few barrels. If they run dry, you had to know another one.
Mm-hmm.
But he knew. He knew where they go for the next beer. All right. Yeah. And then I went back to the line.
You said, I think about you going, meeting your friend Jimmy from
Moscow. Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, you want to know anything about it?
Oh, sure. Tell me about it.
Well, Jimmy, we go to the show. What is it that your show right in...